The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Okay, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Eric is indisposed at the moment.
I'm afraid he's been having GI problems and uncomfortable bloating.
But I'm sure he'll be out in a jiff.
Oh, here he is now.
Looking pale and shaken. Oh, you okay, little buddy?
The Eric Metaxas Show.
Hey, folks, welcome back. Hey, how about that Larry Elder?
Do you promise
to see Uncle Tom, the film? Are you convinced now? Oh, boy, I hope you are. Chris and Albin, before we go to Jenna Ellis, can we just talk about what's going on in the country? Do either of you have any particular observations before I go into one of my rants?
I just woke up, so I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, that's more power to you, my friend. Thank you. What about you, Chris?
Well, I think, obviously – I think it feels like division is the goal, right? That seems like, if everybody's divided and upset with each other, then no good can come from it. And I feel like we need to kind of figure out what we can agree on. But it feels like things have been hijacked and they're very dark forces at play that are trying to use what could have been a good moment, turning it into a malignant.
I'll give you a theological idea that I think I've shared on this program before. But now, if you're not a Christian, this is a Christian point of view that I'm going to share, and it's at least instructive metaphorically. But I believe this to be literally true. That when you read the scripture, they always the biblical writers, which is to say God Himself, portrays Satan. Now, Satan is the word for the adversary. Also, can mean the accuser. He's portrayed as the accuser. So, in a court of law, he's the adversary and the accuser. In other words, what he does is he takes things that are true and twists them into a lie. In other words, there's no such thing theologically as a pure lie. Every lie has to steal some truth and twist it, okay? So the accuser takes things and twists them without going into it too much. The point is that when I tell somebody something that's wrong about them, I can either be speaking life or I can be speaking death. I can be saying the same thing. It depends on how I say it, right? So if I find something you've done in your past and I use it to beat you over the head, it's kind of like a parent with a kid, right? Imagine if you say to that kid, you're bad, you're never going to amount to anything, you've done this and this and this and this, and you've done this, and you're just like your father or you're just like your mother. You're speaking a curse over that person. It's the antithesis of speaking love and blessing over them. And you may even be saying some things that are true. You did this and this and this and this. But by repeating it and beating them over the head, what you're doing is precisely the opposite of what God would do or a loving parent would do. A loving parent wants to bring something to your attention if you've done something wrong so that you can see that you did it wrong, you can agree that you did it wrong, you can be sorry that you did it wrong, and you can repent, you can change. And then the parent says, look at you. You did this bad thing, but now you see that it was wrong, and I'm so glad I brought it up to you because now you can change, and I want to bless you, and I want you to be the kind of person that understands when they did something wrong so they can turn from it, and so you can be blessed, and so we can celebrate that you've changed in a positive direction.
Yeah, well, here's my problem with some of this is that who put these morons in charge of what's right and what's wrong? I mean, they've killed God. They said there is no God, so now they're in charge. So
Albert,
racists.
But before you make that point, let me let me just pull this all the way through, because that's a slightly separate point. I just, what I wanted to say is that, let's say somebody says, America is guilty of these sins of racism, this and this and this and this. Those things might be true, right? In fact, in many cases, they are true. But the point is, what are you doing with that information? Do you take that information and beat America over the head and curse America and say to America, what the 1619 Project says, you will never be better than this. You will always be mired in your roots of racism and Jim Crow. You will never, you will never, you will never. That is called a curse. The healthy response to the sins would be to say, we did this and we repented of it. And maybe we need to be reminded of it again so that we can repent again, so that we can say, yes, that is terrible. What can we do to make that right? But what is happening right now, and these are the people, Albin, I assume you're referring to, they are using the past sins of America to beat America over the head and to curse America. And what I'm saying is that everybody in a country has to love that country the way you love a kid. And you have to say, if there's something wrong, we want to fix it. But we have to celebrate and pat that kid on the head and on the back when they get something right. And in this country, innumerable people, innumerable ancestors, not mine because my folks were in Europe, but innumerable ancestors of people in America today spent their lives in the abolitionist movement. Most of them were Bible-thumping Christians.
Yes.
Innumerable Americans sent their boys, white boys, to die in a war that ended slavery in America. Does that blood count for nothing? Do the voices condemning Americans who are white as racists, as privileged, do they not understand that blood was shed, that slavery could be ended? What about the people involved in the civil rights movement? How many people were involved in that movement who were out of the churches? Do we celebrate that? And so my theological point, and forgive me, Albin, for going on so long, but I just want to say that that's what is happening. And we need to say that's not the Christian way. The Christian way is you do the right thing. If you do it wrong, you repent. And then you celebrate that God forgives you and yeah. wants to forgive you. And to never forgive and to be waving your finger in people's faces in the way that these people with no authority are doing, that's not God's way. It is to curse America and to keep America perpetually mired in its in its own sins. It's fundamentally wrong, fundamentally unchristian.
Yeah, I know. To me, it's a bunch of self-righteous racists, both black and white, telling folks, look at your sin. I was just reading in Romans 5:2. This is the Tyndale New Living Translation. In Romans 5:2, it talks about our undeserved privilege. Now, why do we have undeserved privilege? Because Jesus Christ is the great abolitionist. He absolved us from our sins when we believe and put our faith in him. Now, you want to talk about getting freed from the slavery of sin? Jesus Christ, the pastors have to talk about this great abolitionist from the pulpit so that we all know where we're going in life. Either we're going...
Actually, that's, you know what, that brings up the most difficult point of all. There are so many Christians who have bought into this foolishness. They don't seem to understand that to stand against racism does not mean standing with the anarchist Marxist mobs who hate America, who don't want to build what Martin Luther King wanted to build. He wanted to build a colorblind society. Completely radically different. Same thing goes for Bonhoeffer. People have been attacking me online for using Bonhoeffer, and they say, don't you know that Bonhoeffer, blah, 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 blah. And I think to myself, excuse me, Bonhoeffer was talking about stuff literally 90 years ago, before the civil rights movement began. It was an utterly different America. Blacks were being lynched in the South constantly. People say, oh, well, the same thing is happening today. You know what? That is a level of historical ignorance that it's impossible to respond to. If you believe that there is any real parallel between the America of the 30s, when people were being lynched and photographs being taken of their corpses with smiling crowds, if you think that there's anything like that going on today, you're deceived. But many pastors, Albin, and Chris, and you know this, and I think, unfortunately, we know some of these pastors, they do not have the ability to speak bravely and heroically into this because of what I would call white guilt. They think, oh, well, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. You certainly do. You can say what God says, and it has nothing to do with your skin. Anyway, thus endeth our lesson. Hey, folks, when we come back, Jenna Ellis, you can't miss Jenna Ellis. Oh, my gosh. We're going to ask her about what happened with Brian Stelter on CNN. Don't go away.
The preacher taunted me and he smiled. They're going to put me in the movies. They're going to make the big star out of me.
Hey there, folks. As promised, I have on the line, on the phone, on the computer, as my guest, the Jenna Ellis. She's with the Falkirk Center. She's with the Trump campaign, and she's with the Eric Metaxas Show right now. Jenna, welcome.
Thanks so much, Eric. It's a great day to be with you.
So much to talk about. I don't know where to start. What's hot on your mind right now that you want to talk about?
Yeah, so this is actually a great day for this topic. You know, we've been talking about all of the cultural issues that America is facing, that actually the world is facing, with all of the racism, the riots, the all of these questions that so many people have in terms of what is truth. And so I was actually on a plane yesterday. I'm here in Phoenix today because the president's going to be coming later today to speak to Students for Trump. And I was on the plane yesterday just scrolling through Twitter and saw a tweet from Sean King, who is one of the self-avowed leaders of Black Lives Matter. He's not directly affiliated, but he had tweeted to take down, quote unquote, white Jesus, and made this whole long thing about destroying churches, destroying statues, and any imagery of the whiteness that is Jesus. And, you know, Eric, it just struck me how this whole entire movement that is Black Lives Matter, and it's a movement, it's a cultural, they have a worldview. And what they are poised to do is to try to relegate the person of Jesus Christ to a historically meaningless person, to pretend that current evangelical Christianity in America claims somehow that he's white. He's not. We know that from history. But to claim that evangelical Christianity is all about white supremacy.
Everyone knows Jesus was Korean. Everybody knows that. Just ask the Koreans. They know. Listen, this is crazy stuff. We need to be clear. When we're talking about Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter does not care about black lives. They are using this. We have to be very clear. When you're dealing with an evil enemy, the cynicism, the evil, it's hard for us to process. I think most Americans have never dealt with this before. In other words, it's a level of deception that we simply don't see in our own lives. Somebody who will lie brazenly, who will pretend to be all about wanting to bring, wanting to help blacks in America. When the fact of the matter is, if they get to do everything they want to do, they will harm blacks. So if you actually care about blacks, which I assume most people do, whether you're white or not, you must oppose Black Lives Matter, the movement. You must oppose the organization, because this organization, they are mad. They are mad Marxist anarchists. They want to do everything they can to destroy the country in which blacks have been given such an opportunity to flourish, that, as everybody says, they want to come here from Africa. It's not as if this country is a racist country, but they're painting this narrative to suit their own ends. And I just can't say it enough, and forgive me, Jenna, for talking so long, but I just want to say that it's hard for us to get our heads around how cynical this is, that they're using the death of this man, George Floyd, to launch a political revolution which will harm everyone of every color. I will say it until I can't say it anymore. People need to wake up to the evil of this organization. And what you just said is only the most recent dramatic example. So go.
Sure. And it is the next phase of what this movement, because you're right, Black Lives Matter is not, as a movement, is not about Black lives genuinely. If we really wanted to talk about that, we would talk about defunding Planned Parenthood, because Black mothers in a lot of cities have the highest rate of abortions for Black children compared to other groups. And so if we really wanted to talk about Black lives and what this organization supposedly stands for, we would be having a different conversation. But they're using this so-called movement to truly revolutionize America and to undermine Western civilization and the founding principles of America, which is that all men, all human beings, are created equal. We're endowed by our Creator with our unalienable rights. And among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They want to take those down. And so they are trying to destroy society by defunding the police, by having total anarchy in the streets, no system of a civil society. They've attacked the family through promoting abortion, through attacking the nuclear family, through an organized society. And now the last thing, they're coming after the church. And so Sean King tweeted this saying, you know, as calling for burning the churches. And so what I did yesterday on the plane, Eric, it struck me that Christians right now need to be bold. We need to call out the truth. We need to call out the truth of what this movement is trying to do, and also the eternal truth that is Christianity, the gospel of Christ, which in Genesis 1:27, we know that God himself created them male and female. The only immutable difference in terms of characteristic is our biological sex, but there is one race. There is no difference in terms of our inherent dignity, value, and worth as human beings, depending on our skin color. But that's the lie that they want to perpetuate, that somehow our Christian faith is all about a quote-unquote white Jesus, when that has absolutely nothing to do with the kingdom of God.
I just got
to
say, Jenna, think of how evil it is. The lie, there's certain lies that you almost can't believe how, you know, what's the term, to gaslight somebody. The only reason that we know racism is wrong is because of the Bible. The only reason we abolished slavery, the only reason we had a civil rights movement is because of the Bible. It was because of Jesus and because of a lot of white people, especially in the abolitionist movement, that we had the end of slavery, that we had a war to end slavery. I was talking with Larry Elder about his film Uncle Tom, and we were talking about how the figure of Uncle Tom in that book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, one of the most Christian novels ever written in the history of literature, and at the very heart of abolishing racism and slavery is Jesus of Nazareth. So this upending of the narrative to sweep away what we know to be true, there's no way you get out of it. In other words, if you say to somebody, well, so tell me, what's wrong with racism? Why? Where'd you get the idea? You know, they're just going to look at you like, are you crazy? But we know that it comes from the Bible. That's where all of the people who've opposed racism, who've opposed slavery, who opposed Jim Crow, they got their ideas from the Bible. I just had to say that because there are many people who don't know this.
Absolutely, because the reality that God presents us to, if we have our clashing ideas of man and we have this, what a lot of people will perpetuate as this false narrative in America that we're built on the social contract theory, that just means that whoever's in charge, whether it's Congress, the legislature, you know, the bench on the U.S. Supreme Court, which I hope we get to today, some of those terrible decisions from last week. If it's just what is our best idea, then you get to those isms, you get to that stratification of determining the value of people based on a subjective worth, either to society or to the family. You get to racism, you get to sexism, saying that one sex is better than another. You get to all of these stratifications, ageism, to say, you know, completed life bills, the elderly don't matter anymore because they don't have as much of a work value to society. We get to foreclosing the life of the unborn and saying that personhood value only starts after a child is born. All of these ideas are inherently un-Christian. They're incompatible with the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ because they don't understand that God made all human beings in his image. And so all of us have inherent dignity and worth at every stage of life, no matter who we are, no matter what we look like. And if you don't have the Christian worldview, then you don't understand that that's the only worldview that is consistent with truly valuing every person. And so what Black Lives Matter is doing is trying to tear down the founding principles of America, Western civilization, the family, and the church, because they are perpetuating the lie that there is somehow systematic racism and sexism and all of these other isms that are not truly in our founding principles that acknowledge the supremacy of Christ as the divine lawgiver, that acknowledge that the only reason we have religious liberty in this country, the freedom of speech and association to speak together the truth about God, is because we're not a perfect society, but we acknowledge that moral, objective truth of God is the only way to have a free and fair society that doesn't promote racism, that doesn't promote sexism, that can have a future of creating a more perfect union because we acknowledge those truths. So Eric, what I did yesterday was I tweeted back a response that this tweet now, as of this morning, got over 4.5 million impressions on Twitter.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to hear about this tweet, and I know my audience does. That is insane. We'll be right back with Jenna Ellis of the Falkirk Center. Don't go away.
I'd rather have Jesus than else is our land. I'd rather be led.
The Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump wants to meet you. This will be the first opportunity he's had to meet with American patriots like you since our country started reopening. His team will cover the flight and hotel and give you VIP access for yourself and a guest. He'll even take a picture with you. All you have to do is text VIP to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump. Again, that's VIP to 88022 for your chance to win and join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for 4 more years.
Hi, folks. Trying times. Just know they won't last. Trying times can be hard on our digestive tract. So why not try Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com? Life Change Tea is an herbal blend of tea that helps the digestive tract and the colon cleanse from intruders. For years, people have experienced the benefits from Life Change Tea. And so can you. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And for those of you that want to go a step further, we have non-GMO organic supplements. If you're listening to Eric, you're informed and educated. So how about free shipping? Just go to the checkout, find the coupon code, enter Eric, E-R-I-C, hit apply, and receive free shipping. Again, Eric, in the coupon code, hit apply, free shipping. These historic times will pass. The yuck in your gut will pass also with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
Folks, I'm talking to Jenna Ellis with the Falkirk Center and with the Trump campaign. Jenna, you are a constitutional scholar. We were referring a moment ago to how the founding documents were, well, we talk about what they say. And then what we didn't say, and I want to get to this tweet that you mentioned a moment ago, very exciting, but Martin Luther King Jr., who was a genuine reverend, who had Christian values and was promoting a Christian way of dealing with the racism in America, he called those documents a promissory note. In other words, he recognized that in them was a promise that had not yet been fulfilled. And with the passing of the Civil Rights Act and, you know, the election of Barack Obama, you would think that he would have said they have been fulfilled or at least close to fulfilled. But we have people who don't understand that. People like Sean King and the leaders of Black Lives Matter, who are anti-American maniacs. We've just got to be clear. I don't care what color they are. They're cultural Marxists, okay? They're calling for the end of the nuclear family. They don't believe in the nuclear family. I want to talk about that as well. But first of all, let's get to the tweet yesterday.
Yes.
You responded to Sean King's vile tweet about how we need to smash stained glass images of white, so-called white Jesus. What did you respond and what happened?
Yeah. And so, you know, this was just such an obvious call to try to paint a false narrative of Christianity, because I want to be clear for those who may not understand the genuine truth of the gospel of Christ. This is not about white supremacy. The gospel of Jesus Christ, as we've said, is that God created all human beings in his image. The only way that you get to the inherent dignity, worth, and value of every human being is based on the truth of the gospel of Christ. So this is not about white supremacy, but what Sean King is doing is trying to say that, first, to set up the straw man, to say your argument for Jesus is all about whiteness, about white supremacy. So therefore, your Christianity, these statues of Jesus, these churches, these murals have to come down based on a false premise. And so that's what I said. And so this tweet that I want to read to you here, real quick, I had to just respond to this. And I didn't even call him out directly at first. I just posted and said, I have to defend my faith and stand up and give other people the boldness to say I am a Christian. So this is what I tweeted. I'm going on record now. If they try to cancel Christianity, if they try to force me to apologize or recant my faith, I will not bend. I will not waver. I will not break. And Eric, this is so important. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, and I'm proud to be an American. And it gives me tears because this is, you're facing a culture where you get attacked for saying that. And you get, and I did, I got attacked by so many people, but I had to, sitting on the plane, I said, I have to stand and declare right now. I have to say that on Christ, the solid rock I stand. And because the Bible says you need to declare your faith before others. And it's so important. And I also got so many messages of people saying, thank you. Thank you for being a voice that you are willing in this culture to stand up for faith. And that tweet now has gotten over 4.5 million impressions as of today. Christianity was trending and still is trending as one of the top political topics now.
Can you imagine? I mean, look, this is, there's so much to say here. What you, first of all, God bless you for doing that, because we do need to be super clear. And I say this as often as I can, that Bonhoeffer in the 30s, he faced this. In other words, if you weren't willing to stand up for what you believed in at the beginning when the Nazis were pushing, it became harder and harder. Chuck Colson called it the spiral of silence. If you don't speak up quick, you won't be able to speak up in right. No time. Like, you better speak up now, because that right's going to be taken away in a minute. And I think, you know, when you have people, and look, let's call it what it is. Sean King could not be more ignorant. he's a deeply ignorant person, and he is saying things that are so stupid that, you know, the fact that you even have to respond to it seems absurd, okay? You can't invent a fictional character as ignorant as Sean King. You just can't imagine that somebody could say something that ridiculous. But let's respond to him and say that when you talk about the ethnicity of Jesus, okay, that is precisely what the Nazis did, who were trying to undermine Christianity back in the 30s. They said, you know what, we're going to divide the Christians, and we're going to start saying that we don't like the Jewishness of Jesus. We want an Aryan Jesus. Now, as they did what Sean King, you know, is accusing of American Christians doing, they said, we don't like him because he's Jewish and we hate the Jews.
But they're creating a false Jesus, right? They're creating a new Jesus in their own mold and make, right. And they're not founding their Christianity rooted in the truth and the principles of the Word of God. And so then that false Christianity, which, by the way, some pastors don't teach a true gospel. And so some people are only saying, well, you know, Christianity isn't about politics because all Jesus stood for was to love everyone. Well, does he stand for loving everyone? Yes, but that's not the full truth of the gospel. The full truth of the gospel is that we have all sinned. We have a broken relationship with our Creator. And it is only through believing that the Son of God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again. And if we claim that and we accept his propitiation or his fulfillment and payment of our sin, then we can be reconciled with him. And the truth of the gospel is so much more than just how much I can love my neighbor. It's I have a genuine love because I am reconciled now with Christ.
Amen. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back talking to Jenna Ellis. You won't go away, so I won't ask you not to.
Lord must be in New York City. I'm so tired of getting nowhere, seeing my...
Folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. I am talking to Jenna Ellis with the Falkirk Center at Liberty University. She's also with the Trump campaign. She's a constitutional scholar. Jenna, we're talking about so many different things. One of the things we just talked about was this joke narrative that, you know, utterly desperate, ignorant people like Sean King and the leaders of Black Lives Matter are putting out there. This is just classic Marxist lunacy. And they're basically saying there's this white Jesus and, you know, on and on and on. And what I think we have to say, which is really unpleasant, but a lot of these same elements in the radical Black community, they have been very openly anti-Semitic. And this is part of the undercurrent here. In other words, you have people like Louis Farrakhan, who, you know, was never fully denounced by the Black leadership. He is still, you know, part of that. And when I say Black leadership, clearly I mean leftist Black leadership. And so there, he has been openly, obscenely anti-Semitic. We know that Jesse Jackson and the Reverend Al Sharpton have been openly anti-Semitic. There's an undercurrent there. They seem in part to despise the fact, and this is, I'm talking about folks like Sean King of Black Lives Matter, not Blacks in America. They seem to despise the fact that Jesus was a Jew. They hate it. And so they bring up, you know, white Jesus as if there is any other Jesus but the one Jesus who came into this world 2,000 years ago in Israel, who was the Jew, who was a rabbi, and who wanted to bring the God of the Jews to every part of the world, to every color on the planet. There is no other Jesus. And so we're talking about some really dark stuff here. When Sean King said that, I just have to say, people need to know that when you preach a different Jesus, that is a spirit of Antichrist. We've got to call it what it is. It's a spirit of Antichrist. It wants to take you away from the God of Scripture. And I want to say, finally, what you talked on, you know, the Black family, Black fathers, Black, if you care about Blacks in America and you are not talking about, you know, how many Black young men are raised without a father, that's the issue. Moynihan, the liberal, brought it up in the mid-60s. Nobody is willing to deal with that. If you care about Blacks, that's what you're talking about. You're not talking about the baloney that the BLM movement is talking about.
Well, and if you, and it's so true, Eric, that if you really care about anyone, whether they're, you know, their history, their race, anything, you have to then start with truth and say that the only way to genuinely reconcile neighbor to neighbor and not have all of this division is to not identify people based on skin color, based on sex, based on any other immutable characteristic, but rather to build those bridges and to recognize the humanity in every one of us, because that is God's image. That's the imago Dei in everyone. And so what the movements like Black Lives Matter, what's so insidious about it is that they pretend to be about Black lives, but what they're all about is just stoking racial division and trying to say that people in America who, like you and I, we're white, right? It's very obvious that we have this trait that we are born racist, that we have no way to overcome that except to apologize for the guilt of our ancestors. It's false guilt. And all it's doing is dividing, and it's making us afraid, and it's making all communities afraid, and it's making all of us afraid based on our division, rather than the truth of Christianity, which is to say that Jesus and the truth of God brings people together in true reconciliation, because it's not you and me first that need to reconcile. It's that we each need to reconcile our broken relationship with God. And then based on the Holy Spirit in our lives and the truth of the gospel of Christ, then we can be genuinely reconciled to one another because we have that truth. And then we recognize that we are all human beings and one race under the Father. And that's the true gospel.
Well, and any other gospel, as I said, is an antichrist message. That is what you're getting. And let's be honest. When somebody says to you, hey, there's nothing you can do about your sin, that is the voice of Satan. God sent Jesus so that there was something we could do about our sin. We could lay it at the foot of the cross and put our faith in him, and our sin becomes nailed to the cross with him, and it dies, and we are resurrected in his eternal life by faith. That is the opposite message of people who are promulgating this race-baiting, crazy narrative. And let's be clear before we shift to the Supreme Court, the reason they are stoking racial division is not merely to stoke racial division. It's because they have another agenda that has nothing to do with race. They are cultural Marxists. They want to destroy the free system that we have in America. They are the enemies of freedom. That is their goal. It's got nothing to do with black people. Otherwise, they would be in Chicago trying to prevent the murder of blacks in inner city Chicago. Let's transition.
And real quick, just what we all then need to do, and what I would encourage everyone to, I mean, and looking at how many people are talking about this topic this morning, how many people are concerned about this, we need to seek out truth. And so if you're not a Christian, you need to actually investigate for yourself what is the truth about the Christian worldview, what is the truth about the Black Lives Matter movement, and you need to say for yourself, who do you believe that Jesus is? And for those of us who understand that Christ Jesus is the Son of God and that all human beings are made in the image of God, we need to boldly speak that truth. And we need to say truthfully that America was not founded on racism. It was not founded on white supremacy, but founded on these imperfect people that acknowledged their own sin, but acknowledged first and foremost in setting up our American government that we can create a more perfect union because we recognize that our rights are pre-political. They come from God. And the only purpose of our government system is to preserve and protect our rights for all. So if we're talking about genuine equality, we will never get there tearing down the founding principles of America. We need to stand firmly for that truth.
You know, you sound a lot like a constitutional scholar. Are you?
Yes, and I love America, and I'm so proud to be an American.
Son of a gun, you're a constitutional scholar. I just had a hint from what you were saying. All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we want to talk about, just briefly, in the few minutes we have left, about the Supreme Court decisions that went down so recently. I'm talking to Jenna Ellis with the Falkirk Center at Liberty University. We'll be right back.
Talk on the street, it sounds so familiar.
Strolling along country road. Folks, I'm talking to Jenna Ellis of the Falkirk Center at Liberty. Jenna, is there any silver lining in the decisions the Supreme Court handed down so recently? It was lamentable to me that you could have people appointed by Republican presidents, including President Trump, in the first decision, handing down decisions that would disturb people like you and me.
Yeah. And so what happened at the Supreme Court last week, definitely in both of those decisions, was an abandonment of the Constitution and the principle that the judiciary is separate, that separation of powers, to say that the judiciary is not the legislative branch. You can't make law. You can't input your own political agenda and your politics into the law. So they took this 1964 law and said, even though we all agree that the term sex means the biological difference between men and women, we're just going to go ahead and decide for the legislature that we are going to add into that definition more protected categories, including sexual orientation and gender identity. So how
does
that
most conservative? Who's the most conservative jurist who sided with the majority?
Justice Thomas. So Justice Thomas wrote the dissent, and he was the best of them. But Gorsuch was who surprised everyone.
That's the question. How is it possible? Yeah. It's one thing that Roberts would do it, because
he's a liberal. Let's just be honest.
I forget about Roberts. But how is it possible that Gorsuch sided with the majority?
So it was shocking, I think, to a lot of people in America, like myself, who advocated strongly for his appointment. This was one of the early wins of President Trump. But it's because we have to understand that the comprehensive nature of how much goes up in front of our Supreme Court, we have to make sure that jurists comprehensively are originalists. And what I think we have to do over the next 4 years, including voting for President Trump and making sure that he gets more Supreme Court appointments, is to hear from other groups outside of just the Federalist Society that are concerned about the mechanics. We have to also be concerned about the social issues to make sure that the Supreme Court stays in their lane. But we have to give President Trump another 4 years, because listen, no justice is ever going to get things 100% correct all of the time. And even though what Gorsuch did in this decision was absolutely terrible, he has had a stellar track record over the last 3 years on the bench. And if President Trump was appointing two or three more conservative justices, if we had a wider margin, then when one or two justices get one decision wrong, they will always be in the minority. And we could have a Supreme Court that we could depend on to actually interpret the Constitution as meant and stay in their lane. So I am very confident that President Trump, with his new list that he's going to put out before September 1st, he's tweeted that, he's hearing from other groups. And, you know, he was the one that nominated Gorsuch because we as conservatives wanted Gorsuch. We were excited about that. And so he, of course, was very disappointed in this decision. And so he's saying, you know what, I'm going to go back and reevaluate the list. Let me know, faith groups, people who are concerned about religious liberty, concerned about preserving the Constitution. And I have no doubt that that list is going to be more comprehensive, and we can rely on President Trump to continue to protect religious freedom, protect the principles of the Constitution and the text of the Constitution with his next appointments. We're just going to keep getting better.
Yeah, and John Zmirak has written about this. He's a frequent guest on this program, and he has often suggested Sidney Powell as somebody who should be on the Supreme Court.
She's fantastic. She's Michael Flynn's lawyer, by the way, for people who don't know.
She's been on this program, and I have to say, what an impressive human being, what an extraordinary mind. Jenna, if people want to find you or the Falkirk Center, what's the best way they can do that?
Thank you. You can find me on social media at Jenna LSESQ. That stands for Esquire, meaning I'm a licensed attorney. And then you can also find us on social media at Falkirk Center and falkirkcenter.com. So definitely check out. We engage in all of these cultural issues that are relevant, not just politics, but understanding the entire scope of why we as Americans need to be concerned about the interaction and the intersection between faith, politics, and what's going on in the world.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Jenna Ellis, always a joy to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.